In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we are near the end of what's called a sermon series. I just wanted to remind you of that. We've had a series here. Past 3 weeks, Darby and Sarah and Dixon have preached sermons that highlight the collects of the first, second, and third Sundays of Advent. So today is the fourth and final Sunday. A collect, by the way, is simply a prayer that is meant to gather the intentions of the people and focus worship into succinct prayer. To what might I compare a sermon series? There are series on television of programs, there are magazine and study series. But in keeping with the language of the season and its most famous song, the most famous series of all is the World Series. Of course, the World Series, a series of up to 7 games, the winner being the one that wins 4. In baseball, there's a batting order. The first batter is called the leadoff batter. And then there's the second and the third batter. But then, again in the words of the most famous Christmas song of all, the most famous batter of all is the cleanup batter. The fourth batter. That's the one everybody is counting on to get a hit, to drive those other guys, and it is guys, into home and score a run. So the cleanup hitter is the best hitter on the team. And in our series, we have had 3 batters. I'm just saying. Well, the truth be known, the first 3 pitchers have each knocked it out of the park. Don't you love these sports things? I do them for Dixon. They've knocked it out of the park. Every one of them's had a home run. So even if the old cleanup guy strikes out, the fans will still be happy. So be happy. All right, enough of that. Let me just do a brief recap on Advent Sundays and collects. Remember, Advent is about remembering the coming of Christ, His first coming, the ancient prophecies leading up to that. But more importantly, far more importantly, Advent is about the coming of Christ now and in the future, whenever and however that should be. In our first Sunday of Advent, we had a gospel from Matthew 24. That's pretty far down in the book. And it's kind of apocalyptic in time. And the notion says this: no one knows the day or the time of the coming. Watch, for the coming of man is coming at an unexpected hour. And the collect for that Sunday is about casting out works of darkness and putting on an armor of light so that you might be in preparation for the judgment which might be coming with that second coming. The second Sunday of Advent has John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Then he gets kind of irritated and he says to those assembled, "You brood of vipers." And I so wanted to get that collect, but I didn't get the draw. That colic that day tells us that the prophets, the one who call you names like vipers, they are sent that you might heed their warnings and forsake your sins and meet Jesus then with joy at his coming. The third Sunday, last Sunday of Advent, we had Matthew 11. John the Baptist is once again with us, but this time he is in prison. He is concerned, and he sends a message to Jesus' followers. Ask Jesus this question: are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus responds, go tell John what you have seen. The blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the colic, so appropriate with the power implied in Jesus' response, is, stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us, because we are sorely hindered by our sins. The fourth Sunday of Advent, the gospel is from the first chapter of Matthew. And I would call the gospel that we have today, and I would call this sermon, Joseph's Dilemma. I love the way it starts out on verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place this way. You cannot accuse Matthew of being indirect or wordy. He gets right to the point. There are no mangers, there are no shepherds, and there's no fluff, just the facts. But there is a very disturbing fact. There's a problem. The text tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. That would mean that Joseph was a man dedicated to God's law. That would mean a man dedicated to following that law, a good man who lived a life of faithful obedience. Methodist Bishop Will Willimon writes about this text and calls Joseph a righteous, Torah-believing man. This very good, God-fearing, Torah-believing man, a man faithful to the laws of the faith and faithful to the remedies called for in the law about practically everything that could be. This man, Joseph, has a big, big problem. His betrothed, Mary, is pregnant, and they had not, as the text says, lived together. Joseph is in a very difficult and embarrassing situation. He has available to him very well-defined methods for dealing with the situation. Among the possibilities called for in the Torah, Deuteronomy 22 specified that a woman in Mary's situation could be tried publicly and then executed. Joseph decides, however, to, quote, dismiss her quietly. Joseph is being merciful to Mary, trying to avoid public censure, yet he is to try to remain righteous by fulfilling the dictates of the biblical law, putting her away. But then something happens. The text says Joseph is approached by an angel in a dream and is told, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She is to bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Which brings me to the collect of the day. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. This is an ancient prayer. It was first found in the Galatian Sacramentary, which dates from the mid-18th century Vatican archives. The oldest known Roman sacramentary in which the feasts are arranged in the ecclesiastical year, an ancient Advent prayer. The late Dr. Marion Catchett, in his prayer book commentary, says, the collect provided for use in the season when the first Advent is recalled and the second anticipated reminds us that in contrast to his first Advent, when there was no room for him in the inn, he may find for us a mansion prepared for himself. And I would add, that mansion is prepared because our conscience has been purified by his daily visitation. Again, Joseph does not exact revenge for any embarrassment that Mary's situation has caused him. He does not want to strike back, even though he has been hurt and humiliated. Joseph is a man of righteousness. He's faithful and obedient. He has made a decision that is merciful yet faithful to the penalty of putting her away. But something happens, and he is confronted with a more profound and immeasurably more loving response. Joseph's conscience, already described as righteous, is made yet more pure by this new revelation and instruction from God's messenger. When I think about this, I think about what Paul says just before that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I will show you a more excellent way. Conscience. What's a conscience? We all are supposed to have one. An inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior. Joseph's already well-formed and righteously intended conscience is made purer in his encounter with God's more excellent and more loving solution to Joseph's dilemma. I think the prayer today has profound implications. The late Marcus Borg wrote, Lord knows, a number of books, but I think his most famous title had to be Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. That's exactly how I felt when I was dealing with this sermon and dealing with this prayer. For me, working in today's collect, this particular collect, the fourth Sunday of Advent, it's been a part of the liturgy of this prayer book since its trial use, but it's an ancient prayer going back to the 8th century. This means for me that I've been hearing this prayer for 40 years at least. I've been praying it as a priest for 33 years. Yet this year, I heard it as if, again, for the first time. Oh my goodness, what's that about? Purify our conscience, O Lord, by your daily visitation. Daily visitation. You know, I believe in the presence of God. I even say things like, God is as close to us as our next breath. I say stuff like that. But do I believe it? Somehow this daily visitation thing puts more substance to this notion of God's ever-present reality. At least it does for me. So this presents me with a dilemma. God shows up every day. Do I show up every day? God is present in your life every day. But are you present in God's life every day? I'm reminded of another book which was very popular in the 60s, the Reverend Malcolm Boyd's Are You Running With Me, Jesus? It's a book of prayers in conversational language that deals with subjects that are not often talked about, much less prayed about. And as I thought about that title, I thought, well, really the title ought to be for me, Am I Running With You, Jesus? The message for today's collect is this. God is present to us. If we can be present with God, we may well have a purification of conscience that will make us ever more present to one another and change our lives in such a way that Jesus, if he was coming back, might feel right at home in you and me. My suggestion for you for the remainder of Advent, so this won't be for long, but you can continue doing it if it works, is to pray today's collect and make it personal. Purify my conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, so that your Son, Jesus, may find a home in me, a mansion prepared for himself. Amen.